Justin.
What up, Steve?
What up, dude? How's it going? How you been? How's life?
Honestly, I've been a little bit sick this week. I had the sniffles. I can tell it's starting to get to that cold season. And man, I'll tell you, having a bit of a sniffle, which is a very minor thing, having it in 2021 in COVID times is not fun. Everyone's looking at you like, you have the Rona. And I'm like, no, I don't. I just had a sniffle. So hopefully my voice sounds good enough during this episode, but you know what? We've kept the people waiting too long, so I'm powering through, got lots of water with me. And man, I've been drinking so much tea lately. It's helpful, and let me tell you, dude, I did not drink tea up until like a year ago. It goes pretty hard.
Tea's
It goes
amazing.
pretty hard.
Tea is
Tea's great,
great.
man.
Nothing better than
Yeah.
a hot cup of tea on some days where it's just, rainy and hot chocolate is nice for, snowy days and plenty of people out there drink coffee. I personally am not one of them, and I know you are, but sometimes nice cup of tea just hits the spot. Can't beat it.
It really does, man. It really does. The British know what's up, and yeah, I don't know. It's so good. I don't know what I was missing the first 23 years of my life that I didn't get really into tea, but we have so much and no one in our house drinks it, so I've just had full access to all the flavors and there's a lot. But yeah, I just usually douse it in way too much honey, which
Oh
probably
yeah.
makes it way better. Like I don't think I'd drink tea just by itself. You know, it's half tea and half honey. But it's good for my throat, and yeah, so it's healed me much faster than any medicine could have, I'm very sure. So,
Reject
but
the
yeah, I'm
science,
doing good
Justin.
overall.
Medicine doesn't know how to fix a sniffle. Tea is the only way.
Oh man, yo, when I was in South Africa just over this past, you know, the half year, the first half of 2021, there was this man who. This nice guy who was at the church that we went to, his name was Papa Abiri, and he was from Nigeria, but living in South Africa on a visa, you know, working. And this guy was very friendly, was kind of like a father, grandfather figure to me and the people that I was there with. And he came over to our house and helped, like, cook for us a couple times, because he's like, if you're going to be here, I got to cook for you some authentic Nigerian food. Because like what you guys eat over in America is a bunch of crap. That's why you guys are all weak and you're not strong like us Nigerians. And we're like, all right, Papa, like, sure, show us what you got. And this dude just put chili on chili on chili on chili in like the chicken and the soups that he made. He's like, I'm never gonna get COVID. This guy's probably in his low 70s, you know. He's not like super, super old, but definitely on the older side. And he's like, I'm not worried about COVID. I just wear a mask because it makes other people feel good. He's like, if you eat food like I make, you're never gonna be sick. And it didn't quite work out because one of the people I was there with, Riley, got COVID,
Oh
and she
no.
was eating it. But you know,
Immediately
it was all
disproven.
good. Yeah. Well, to be fair, he only came and cooked about two times, so maybe it was once he stopped that that happened. But yeah. So apparently, Nigerian food for everybody except Riley is able to prevent disease, so you know, I don't know what the deal is with that, but oh, it was so funny though. He was super nice and he was, you know, very friendly. He came and cooked for us, so we weren't gonna complain. And then on the way out after the first time, he just snagged a roll of toilet paper from our house and walked out with it. And he just needed some, and we had extras, so he just snagged and walked out. And that's what people do there, man. Hospitality is huge, and what's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. So, yeah, just a funny story there. But yeah, if you're ever feeling sick, hot tea with honey and Nigerian food is the way to go. So,
We've truly cracked the code for peak human
yeah,
health here.
we really have.
Amazing
But
stuff.
hey, how have you been? We've been talking a lot about my sick self. So, what's going on with you?
Well, I saw Dune twice, so you could say I'm doing pretty great. And actually, we can skip past everything else that's happened to me since last time we chatted because it's unimportant compared to Dune. This is what we're here to talk about today. This movie, if you haven't seen it, I'm pausing for a dramatic effect, but I'm also just like waving my hands around in exasperation, as Justin can see, but you obviously can't. What are you doing if you haven't seen this movie? If you are a movie I don't even want to say lover. If you are somebody who enjoys just watching movies, like if you've ever seen a movie in your life, go see this one. This is, I can't speak highly enough of this movie. This was the best theater experience that I have had since Avengers Endgame. And this movie, like, completely blew me away. As somebody who has not yet read, and I say yet because I do plan to read Frank Herbert's Dune series at some point in the future, hopefully when the movies are done, so I can read them aside from any cinematic influence. But, like, this movie, dude, was so good. And even as a non-book reader, like, I didn't know what to expect. I knew it was some space story with the big sandworms in it. That's literally all I knew about Dune going in. And I was drawn into this world. The characters captivated me. The story captivated me. Like, the setting and backdrop that Denis Villeneuve, the director, painted and laid out for us in this movie just drew me into the world and the movie completely. And I can't, I'm just raving at this point. Like, I'm just rambling. This movie was so good. I'm gonna go see it at least one more time. Potentially one more time before this episode even comes out. But, like, everybody should go see this movie. IMAX, if you got one near you, because this was a triumph of cinematic experience. Like, I could go on and on about how much I enjoyed it. And I want to know your thoughts before we start breaking this movie down bit by bit.
Yeah, well, first of all, to reiterate what you just said, go and see this. Like, go out of your house to the movie theaters and see this. This is a movie that is gonna be good if you watch it at home, but it is gonna lose so much of the effect compared to watching it in the theaters. Like, this is a movie that must be seen in a movie theater. It doesn't necessarily have to be IMAX. I didn't see it in IMAX, and maybe I missed out on it a lot. Maybe I'll go back and see it in IMAX. Steven's nodding yes.
Yes.
But if you're the person that will wait until this comes out on streaming, which it inevitably will somewhere,
Well,
right?
it's already
Or
out
to
on HBO
DVD.
Max because it's a Warner Bros. Movie. So
Even if you have HBO Max,
please don't watch it on HBO
if you're
Max.
watching it on your laptop, unless you have the dopest, like, home movie theater setup that is, a whole wall-sized TV and surround sound and everything, unless you're one of the 0.01% of people in the, in America that has one of those, go and see this movie in the theaters. First of all, it's awesome that they even put this out in theaters because I know a lot of places are now doing the straight to streaming anyway, right? And a few movies in the last couple of years because of the pandemic have struggled to be confident going into the theaters at all. And so any support for movie theaters is huge because we still want to be able to go and see these films in the theater. It's just a totally different experience. And also just the scope and the majesty of this movie, you're gonna just totally lose it if you don't watch it in the theater. Which I still fully expect to enjoy it when I see it, on a DVD or on HBO Max later. Like, I don't think I'm gonna not like it when I watch it at home, which I'm going to at some point for sure. But the first viewing of this movie 100% should be in a theater. And yeah, I had a bit more of an idea of the Dune world coming into this than I think maybe you did, maybe not, but I had also heard of the books, and you actually got them for our little sister for Julia either last Christmas or the year before. It was within the last couple of years, and as I've been in the Wheel of Time series, the book series, and so has Julia, neither of us has touched the books yet, but I'm much farther ahead in the Wheel of Time. I'm almost actually done with it. And so I've been eyeing the Dune series as my next ones to read. And honestly, I didn't even really know that there was the movie coming out until the promotional material started earlier this year for it. And I was already planning on reading the books. And I also got my hands on, for my birthday, thanks to my wonderful girlfriend Lydia, she got me the Dune Imperium board game. Has a lot of the characters from the movie, and all of the art is like the actors and screen stills from the movie and stuff. Which was pretty interesting that they released that before the movie. Like, you would think that they would sell merch and stuff after the movie came out to capitalize on it. But I guess with COVID, a lot of things maybe got messed up timeline-wise. But that was, it's so fun. It's such a great game, and it had a bit of the lore like woven into the mechanics and the game. And so I had a bit of an idea of what it was about, like the fact that everyone's fighting over spice and it's on the desert planet, and that there's all these different houses and factions and even some of the names of the specific characters. But in terms of like what the actual plot of the movie was, literally no clue. Again, I didn't watch any of the trailers heading into this. And yeah, I was just completely blown away. I don't think the trailers did it justice. I was talking with my dad actually after we watched, or he watched one of the trailers, and I went back and watched the trailer after I watched the movie. After I asked him what he thought, like if he was excited to watch it, he was like, it looks like a generic sci-fi movie. You know, one of the ones that comes out every year that does nothing and comes and goes and is forgotten about by the end of the year. And I went back and watched the trailer afterwards, and I'm like, it kind of hints at what the movie is, but there's nothing that really prepares you for when you step and sit down in the theater and the movie starts. It's just completely mind-boggling. And so if you were not grabbed by the trailer, or if you don't know anything about Dune and it seems like just another quote-unquote generic sci-fi semi-action movie, forget all of that and just go see the movie. It is so good. It is so good. And of course it has influence, and there are parts of it that are similar to Star Trek, Star Wars, things like that, but none of that matters. It's so good. It's so good. Sorry, I've been talking for a while too. We're both having our individual rants on this, and we're just completely blown away. And yeah, I guess we can get into some of the more specifics. Steve, how many times did you say you saw this? Did your opinion of it change on certain viewings, or?
Okay, so I've seen it twice. First time I saw it in IMAX on opening night, blew my mind. IMAX, Justin said he hasn't seen an IMAX. I highly recommend IMAX if you have it available to you in your area. One of my roommates is not as big a movie guy as I am, and he every time I go to see a movie, I go to see it in IMAX, and he's like, "Why? Why do you go see, these movies in IMAX? Just, save a couple bucks and go see it in regular." Theater, like, what's the difference? And that's fine for some people. Like, if it doesn't make a difference to you, IMAX versus regular theater, that's fine. Save a couple bucks to go see it wherever you want. But some movies are made for IMAX, and the scale of this movie, like, when you see some of the spaceships and like planet shots and just scale and scope of this world, like, it needs to be shown on as big a screen as possible to really drive home that point. Additionally, the sound in IMAX was amazing. Like, I was feeling like the rumble of like a spaceship landing, just the quiet scenes where soldiers were being stealthy and they like dropped in noiselessly behind enemy lines just stood out so much more in like a dead silent theater. And Hans Zimmer's score, like, obviously, that man has an endless list of accolades and great soundtracks and scores to movies. But this is right up there with his best. I mean, I would not be at all surprised to see, actually, I expect this movie to receive several Oscar nominations. Best, like, original score, best director, best cinematography. I wouldn't be at all surprised if this got a best picture nomination. It might be a stretch for a sci-fi movie, but I hope that it gets it. It probably won't win. But I hope that it at least gets the nomination because this, again, this is what you're looking for. And if it's strictly on genre that the Academy decides to, nick some awards for Dune, I'm gonna be upset because this movie is like I'm watching this movie thinking this is what awards were made for. Like, this movie excels on all levels. The interesting point that you're talking about there actually with this seeming like kind of every other sci-fi type movie that's come out recently that you watch once, it's fine, and then you forget about it. Is that this Dune's original source material? Like, Frank Herbert wrote these books in like the 50s, which obviously predates pretty much the entirety of our modern known sci-fi library. Like, stuff that you mentioned, like Star Wars, Star Trek, that stuff was all inspired by Dune. And I mean, we'll just jump right into spoilers and stuff here for the movie. Like, when the voice is used for the first time and throughout the movie, like the first time that it was used, I was like, okay, that's obvious inspiration for, like the Force in Star Wars. It's obviously they operate in different ways and, can be utilized to different effects, but clearly one beget the other, as it were. And you can tell, it may seem at first like this is just derivative of every other sci-fi thing. But when you understand that it is actually the reverse and every other sci-fi thing that we know is derivative of Dune, like it makes a ton of sense. And like for Frank Herbert to have written this, 70 years ago at this point is pretty insane to me that he was able to write these such high concept sci-fi fantasies that have withheld the test of time. Like Dune was still an entertaining and captivating and well-written and thoughtful story even 7 years after the fact, and that's pretty impressive for something like that to stand up all those years, even as technology advances in the real world to match sci-fi. It stands the test of time, which is very impressive. So that's equally as impressive to me as the fact that they were able to get this onto the big screen, and not only that, but do it in such a way that non-book readers like you and I could not only understand what was going on, but be drawn into the story from just the movie and not being invested in the original source material. But yeah, I tell you, it made me want to read the books. That's for sure. They were already on my radar, but I mean, it's gonna be tough now to not read them because this movie was only a part one, and I guess we didn't even mention that yet. But this is Dune part one. Part two just got greenlit as if, they were never not gonna make it. But part two got greenlit for, I believe, October in 2023. So we got 2 years to wait for that. And so I don't want to spoil myself for that movie by reading the book now, but the first movie made me want to read the book and see what I was missing from the original source material. So I thought, everybody involved with this movie did a spectacular job. Again, awards likely on the horizon for, at least a few members of the cast and crew here. And I just can't get over the scale of this movie. It was so grand, and I think pulling it off successfully is definitely what contributed to this movie not feeling like just another sci-fi story to me. Like when you saw that those big tube ships, I don't know what they're called, so somebody can correct me, but those big tube ships that send out those smaller ships that look infinitesimal next to them, but when they landed on the planet, the people were microscopic next to this insanely large ship that landed. And it just makes you realize how exorbitantly huge the giant tube ship must be to house, probably thousands of those other ships. Like you saw the big sweeping shots of, Arrakis, the desert planet, and Caladan, the original homeland of House Atreides. And it was just so well done. Like it fully conveyed the scope. The music at those times was appropriate and added to the scale of the scene and just elevated the movie as a whole. I really, really enjoyed that aspect. And I think it's honestly something you missed out on by not seeing it in IMAX. But fortunately, there's still time for you to correct that.
Oh, I totally believe it, man. It was not by choice that I didn't see it in IMAX. I actually had an interview and an assignment after said interview, as I've been looking for work here, and yeah, I kind of just had to squeeze it in when I could because I had to be up for work early. I had to hand in the assignment as soon as I could, so I was just like, I gotta finish this thing, and then whenever I can go, I go. And the only thing that was available at that time slot was the regular, and that was on opening night, and I was not going to wait to not see it on opening night. So I made that sacrifice, and hey, I'll probably see about going back and seeing it. Of course, I got the Eternals coming up here that I'm going to see, so we'll see how many nights I actually have for going to the theater. But if I can find a spare one, I would love to go see it in IMAX because I fully expect it to be a way better experience, especially just watching a second time and having a better idea of what's going on. Because I w will say the one thing for me that was like a slight hesitation was the first half of the movie seemed to just kind of jump really fast. Like the pace was kind of breakneck. And it was one thing, then one thing, then they were on this planet, then they were on this planet. And it did a really good job of setting up all the different factions, like the Bene Gesserit and House Harkonnen and House Atreides, and all of the players in the game. And it just, it was very fast doing that. And so, I don't think that took away from the movie at all. It was just something that I noticed. And so I definitely want to go back and watch it again with all of that knowledge in mind and just be able to enjoy the whole spectacle of it, especially in IMAX without having to really think at all. Because that's something that just, after having been in a brain-burning interview and like looking at Excel spreadsheets the entire night and then driving 40 minutes out there, was a bit of a, my brain was not 100% in it at the front. And so, I will say that up front, but it did not take away from my enjoyment at all. It was amazing, and it definitely has me excited to go and watch it again, which, hopefully is sooner than later, and I'll be able to just kind of take in the whole thing. Because how much I loved it, I mean, I would have given it probably like a 8.8, 8.9 out of 10, maybe a 9 out of 10 on just a first viewing with all those factors that I was, that was at play as well. And so I'm expecting on a second viewing for that to even go higher. So yeah, this movie was just so good. The music was so good and just like sticks with you too. And I mean, it's just epic music that you can play like to hype yourself up. Not all of the soundtrack, obviously, like there are quieter moments of it, but in the big epic scenes, like when, dude, when that first worm comes out in that one scene, when the worm gets introduced,
That scene was
when it
awesome.
just straight up munches the spice collector, dude, oh my gosh, that was the most insane thing that I've seen on TV since like the snap. And that was just a totally different,
On
that
TV.
was just a totally different magnet. Well, on the screen, like in a movie, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like,
Just making
yeah.
sure.
And this, yeah, obviously the snap was like a different kind of spectacle and scope to it, because it was very small and quiet moment that had huge ramifications. And this sandworm attack was the opposite, because really, it didn't affect the plot really at all. It was more just an introduction to the sandworm, but it was the biggest, loudest, most aggressive, most epic, like, oh, holy crap, what the heck is that type of thing. Especially with the build up to it. Oh my goodness. Just that one scene, I immediately went home and like watched a YouTube video, and it didn't do it nearly justice at all. But I was like, I just have to see that
No,
again. I
not at
just
all.
have to see that again. It's too cool. And my first thought was, oh dang, maybe that's what the Sarlacc looks like if it like was 17 times as big and could move. But I mean, clearly the Sarlacc and things like that were inspired by, I mean, I'm not in George Lucas's head, but it seems pretty evident that things like the Sarlacc were pretty heavily inspired by the worms in Dune. So just more influence you see there. And I was cracking up just to touch on what you had said about the giant ships. I was cracking up when I saw those. They're just so insanely absurdly big. I was trying to think like how many raw materials like can one planet provide in terms of metal and things like that. Like a ship that size is literally like multiple full planets completely stripped of all like their ore and stuff on them to make these giant
Oh
ships.
yeah. How do you even build that? Like, how does that
Oh,
it makes
it
no
was so
sense to me.
good. It was perfect. I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved
I mean,
it.
that's obviously something that you'd have to, I'm sure they go into that in the source material about how, everything was brought up to where they are today. It's supposed to take place in the year 10,191, but that's not 10,191 AD. It's like 10,191 after some event that takes place in the Dune universe. So this potentially could be like a future that Frank Herbert envisioned for people on Earth. Or this could be, in an entirely different universe with humanoid characters. But yeah, that scene with the sandworm and the spice harvester was one of the most incredible things I've seen on screen in a long time. Again, like the sound and visuals here just blew me away completely. I mean, the shot of Gurney and Paul running back to the ship, but not able to make it through the sand as it starts like waffling and shaking underneath them as the worm approaches, and it's just spewing up sand. You see it rumbling in the distance from like miles away through binoculars, and it's enormous. And it's like right on top of them. And they've only barely got enough room for everybody to fit on. And they escape by, the skin of their teeth. And you just see the worm come out of the sand and inhale this sand harvester like it was, a cracker, basically. When we had literally just seen our human characters next to it, and it was, several stories high. Like this worm just, delicious. Little afternoon bite there. Like, this thing was enormous. This giant desert butthole just ate this, like, spice harvester whole. It was insane. And we see, a worm at the end. We see one of the Fremen, one of the people that lives in the desert on Arrakis, like, riding the worm. So maybe we'll see Paul riding a worm in the future. I'm sure somebody, who has read the book again will like is laughing at the speculation, or wow, hopefully they're like, wow, you've guessed exactly what is coming up because you're so smart. But that'd be awesome to see Paul riding one of the
Oh,
worms.
I fully expect it.
But there were multiple scenes like that in this movie. There were multiple scenes like that in this movie where like I was just like I my jaw was open in the theater. And the second time I watched this movie, I did not see it in IMAX, but I watched it in Dolby. And I was not paying attention to the story at all the second time I watched it. I was strictly there for the visuals and audio. And, Dolby's not IMAX, but it's pretty good. And, like, the scene on Caladan where the Atreides ship comes out of the water and they're packing everything up onto it, that scene, just like the sound there was amazing. As well as the scale of the ship coming out of the water was crazy. The scene where the Bene Gesserit leave after the scene with Paul and the Bene Gesserit mother and the box, that scene was also insane. The worm eating the sand harvester, House Harkonnen attacking House Atreides. There are multiple scenes throughout this movie that, again, were just so well done. And like that's the reason that I wanted to go back and watch it, and I still do want to go back and watch it, is for the visuals of those scenes. Like I cannot stress how well they were executed and just how amazing they looked on a big screen. It's really hard to describe it and to point out everything I liked with it without those specific scenes, in front of us and being able to point it out. But I mean, again, I just feel like I'm beating a dead horse here because every single shot in this movie was so like cinematic and so well done. And that's what brought me back from like just the craftsmanship and the care in making everything look perfect, from the costumes to the CGI to the practical set pieces, and the design choices with how certain characters look. Like everything was amazing. And like the sandworm scene is just the culmination is not really the right word, but I guess the perfect example of everything I loved about this movie. It had all the tension in the world. Obviously, you figure Paul's not gonna die, but Gurney could have died trying to go back and save him. Anybody else on that sand harvester could have died. We could have lost Leto there. There was tension for everybody but Paul there, basically.
Which we end up losing all of them basically anyways.
And then, yeah, exactly. We do end up losing, a ton of named characters by the end of the story. And so, like, this movie just had, like, it had tension. It had interesting characters. It had great visuals. It had high stakes. It had suspenseful, foreshadowing. Like, everything that I wanted from a compelling story is here, and like everything just comes together so nicely. It's just like perfect. And I don't want to say it's a perfect movie because I do have some issues with it, but like I'm really just trying to oversell and overstate how much I thought this movie was a success. Especially with, going back to what you said earlier, like a ton of sci-fi movies that come out nowadays are that, oh, that looks interesting. I'll go see it. It was fine. Forget about it, and never watch it again. Like I want Dune to be successful as a, not just the one movie, but like as a franchise. And I think this has potential to be like the Star Wars of this generation. And it's funny to say that as Star Wars, came out after Dune was written. But in terms of, movies that have shaped the pop culture landscape over the last, decades, like Dune has that potential, in my eyes. And I want it to reach that potential, or at least attempt it. Like I don't want it to not even get a shot because, people aren't interested in it, or, it doesn't sell enough and the studio's like, oh, we can't make a sequel to this, it's not popular. Like this is a masterpiece of adaptation and deserves all the success headed its way. And I just want to shine a light on that. Like it's, again, I'm raving. You said you would give it like an 8.8. I would probably give it a 9, flat. Like that's pretty high for me. I don't know if I have a ton of even like 9 rated movies that I would say. Like there's only a couple of 10s that I can think of off the top of my head as well, but 9 is
High praise, high
excellent.
praise.
And this movie is, yes, excellent. Deserves high
Yeah,
praise.
I think an important thing that you said there at the end was you talked more about, the tension and the characters and things like that, because we've spent so much time talking about the visuals and the music, and you know what else had cool visuals and cool music? Game of Thrones Season 8 and
Well, I don't even. Oh
and
no, I knew
all
you
of
were
the
gonna say
new
something.
Star Wars. All of the Star Wars sequels had cool visuals and cool music, and they were all big poos. And that,
Yes,
I
they
am not
were.
comparing this movie to those. I am saying cool visuals are incredible and awesome. But if that is all that a movie has, you will not hear us celebrate that movie. You will hear us say terrible, terrible things about that piece of film. And, we haven't done it on a recording yet, but in person, those new Star Wars sequels and anything GOT, big thumbs down from us.
Hey, hold on. From you. You are way more harsh on, especially Thrones. Okay, we're getting off on a sidetrack, and I don't want to get this sounding like I'm gonna defend Thrones here because the ending was one of the worst thing I've ever seen. It was like watching, like the space shuttle crash into like a daycare. Like that was so bad. And, like I can't even put into words how cataclysmically.
You can't even talk.
I can't even put into words. I gotta cut all this because I can't even say my words correctly. I can't even put into words how cataclysmically abysmal the finale, final, three, two, one, four seasons of Thrones were, however back you want to go. And I am not gonna defend the last two Star Wars movies. Probably the last three either, in the main series. Because again, those were also just abominations of media. And we can have episodes in the future where we just rant and rave about
We
these.
should.
We really should, because we have a lot to say about them, and I'm sure people are not tired of other people dumping all over the stuff they hate yet. But this movie does everything that those didn't. Like those. Well, I didn't even defend them. What was I saying?
You didn't even
Yeah,
get your
I
point.
didn't even get to my point. Let me get
You
to my point.
were just
However,
agreed with me. It was wonderful.
I do like the first. I'm a fan of the first six-ish seasons of Thrones. There's some stuff in there that I don't love, but it's solid. The first four are still amazing, even though it doesn't lead anywhere. But I'm still interested in House of the Dragon when it comes out. I'm looking forward to
I'm
some new
not.
Star Wars stuff as far as like Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett goes. So there's some
Yeah,
interest
me
there.
too, for sure.
But you're right. If those movies and Thrones had stuck their landing and combined. Interesting visuals, great music with compelling characters and a well-written story like Dune does, we would not be talking about them in this context. We would be saying how great those things are and not how, wow, what a wet fart of an ending from once great franchises. Dune had, like I say, compelling characters. Like, you felt invested in Paul and his story. His like, Jessica was probably the most interesting character of the whole story for me. Rebecca Ferguson acted the absolute crap out of her too. If she doesn't get Best Supporting Actress nod for that, I don't know what the Academy wants from actors. Like,
Shame on
she
you,
was
Academy, if that's the case.
stellar. And yeah, I want to know who some of your favorite characters were, because this was a movie with a star-studded cast, and I thought everybody, for the most part, and we can talk about that in a second if you know where I'm going with that, but everybody for the most part, carried their weight and did a fantastic job.
You're not possibly referring to the one person that was on all the promotional material and showed up for a total of 3 minutes in the movie, are you?
No,
And then looked at the
I
same
couldn't
expression
possibly be talking about
the whole time.
Zendaya's 80 seconds of screen time after being front and center
She's
on the
too busy
poster.
with Spider-Man. She's too
Oh,
busy
man.
with Spider-Man. We'll give her a break. She's gonna be that's way more important anyway, but
Well, apparently she was only on set for 4 days for Dune, which is just the best
yeah.
paycheck of her career. Like, you show up for
Oh,
less than a
100%.
week's worth of work, and you just get to be front and center on all the promotional material.
Her
Amazing.
dude, her agent needs a big fat
Yeah,
raise and a half,
right?
dude.
I
Oh
mean,
my goodness.
obviously, she's going to play a huge role going forward. Her character,
Yeah.
appears in Paul's visions a lot, and we learn throughout this movie that Paul's visions don't come true the exact way that he sees them. So her, part to play in the story is are yet to be determined, as far as us non-book readers go. But I'm very confident that she will have a large role, in part two
Oh
and
yeah.
potentially beyond.
That was fine. I mean, it was whatever. She was there. That didn't really take anything away from the movie for me. It was just kind of funny how all the promotional material was focused on her. Although clearly she will be playing a big role in the franchise. But you had asked who the favorite characters were.
Yes.
I had so many, honestly. I mean, just the most fun was Jason Momoa's character, Duncan Idaho,
Oh,
which his
yeah.
last name's Idaho. Which is
It was
hilarious and
awesome.
awesome just because of that. And, whatever.
Well, what'd
But
you
he
want
was
his
just the
last name to
most
be?
fun.
Donuts?
That would be
That
crazy,
would have been hilarious,
honestly.
actually.
I would have loved that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was just so much fun. Like, he was high energy. He was just like a fun dad, big brother kind of figure, given that, Paul's own dad, Leto, was, he was a good dad from all we can tell, but he was kind of a bit of a emotional brick wall at moments and wasn't necessarily the most like endearing personality, even though we were definitely rooting for him and he was super interesting in his own right. He wasn't the most like emotionally bubbly person to watch, just kind of the weight of his responsibility that was on him. And that's where Duncan got to just be like the fun big brother type of guy, and he's just always hyping up Paul, and he's the guy that's doing the super sick like secret missions to be with the Fremen, and he's the guy that they trust, and he's the only guy that goes and helps out Paul and his mom. Or not, he's not the only one that helps them out, but he's the one that like kind of gets them through some of the really challenging parts, escaping at the end. And he was just the person, like fun to screen time ratio was the highest for me. Even though he didn't have like the hugest amount of screen time either for all of the main characters, just every second that he was on screen was a lot of fun, and whenever he popped back on, I had a big smile. So he was my favorite, even though he wasn't like one of the super big players, I wouldn't say, just in terms of screen time. My other favorite was actually, I don't remember his name. I don't know if they gave him like an official name, but the Baron of House Harkonnen. I don't, did he get a name other than just the Baron? I'm sure he has one. I just don't
Yeah,
remember it off the top of my head.
I'm sure he has one as well. I think he was just referred to as the Baron,
Okay.
and I gotta I'm pretty sure
Yeah.
that it was House Harkonnen
Harkonnen?
in the
Not
movie.
Harkonnen?
That yeah, I'm pretty sure Harkonnen.
Okay, Harkonnen. So how he was just like super creepy, and I don't know, just such a good antagonist. Like it was not like a twist villain by any stretch of the imagination. It's not like there was any obfuscating the fact that he was just straight up gonna like come and wreck shop. Like he was just way too calculating and way too, like the scene where Dave Bautista's character, forgetting his name too, when he comes and. Is it like Glossu, maybe something like that? When he comes to him and is like, the Emperor stripped our homeworld from us, like, what are we gonna do about it? And the Baron is just like, it's all right, we got this, kind of. His attitude is so nonchalant and he's like perfectly in control of the situation and just so calculating and cold. You're like, this dude is 100% evil, but I'm kind of rooting for him because it's also shown in a way that, like, even though these are totally brutal people, like they're just having their, the planet that they've owned for the last 80 years that they've been living on just stripped away from them because of the Emperor, who we never even get seen. We don't even know anything about the Emperor, except apparently he can do whatever he wants. Like we're seeing that get stripped away, and there's almost a bit of like empathy for them, even though they're clearly the bad guys, and clearly like terrible people. And he's just such a good villain. Although, you could argue that the Emperor is the capital V villain, but without him getting shown or named specifically in the movie, it's hard for me to have him be the villain. And I'm imagining at some point later in the series you end up encountering the Emperor, but the Baron was just so good every second he was on screen. And it was just funny how, he's this super fat dude who like can float, and like none of that made sense to me, having not seen the book or having not read the books. None of that made any sense to me,
Yeah, I thought he was
but
just the
he was
tallest
just
dude ever the first time he started floating up. His robes
no.
covered him to the ground. I was like, oh, my boy got 12-foot legs. Oh, my goodness. I was like, dang, if the Baron don't go out and get some rebounds, I swear to God.
But he was great, and he was giving me definitely like Palpatine vibes. And
Definitely.
again, I don't know if Palpatine was inspired by him. Obviously, visually, he wouldn't necessarily have been, although I'm sure the Baron gets a description in the book what he looks like. So I don't know if that was a direct influence or not, but again, just you see so many ties from Star Wars to this. Even just the fact that it takes place on like a desert planet. Not that that's the most original thing ever necessarily. But even just the fact that like A New Hope starts on a desert planet. I mean, it doesn't technically, but like the first shot is not on the desert planet, but the main story takes, starts
Right,
on
our we
Tatooine.
meet our protagonist
It's
on the
like,
desert planet. Yes.
the protagonist, yeah. It's just so heavily, it's so clearly such a big influence. And yeah, I mean, I liked all the characters, but those were the two that stuck out the most for me. I thought Paul was interesting. I think I'd have to watch it again. He wasn't like the most compelling out of all the characters. He was definitely really good, and I'm really interested to see. It was cool to see him grow and change, kind of from this reluctant, not wanting to be in charge, kind of wanting to shirk his responsibility and just kind of go on adventures just for the sake of it, to kind of having to realize that like he's has to step up and be the guy, especially now that his whole line is basically gone. His whole house is basically gone except for him and his mom, as far as he knows. Like seeing that transformation was really awesome. And there's a lot of times in shows and movies and books and stuff where there's like the prophetic character or like the prophecy or someone who sees the future, and usually it ends up being pretty blah because like they know what's going to happen, or the plot kind of bends itself for the things to happen in ways that don't always make sense. Like usually prophecies, like usually they're not always the most interesting thing, but the way that it works here, where he like hates that his mom forced him to be able to have the visions, right, when she was kind of giving him powers through her Bene Gesseritness, and the fact that they don't always come true exactly how, and he kind of is fighting it the whole time. It's like those are all things that I thought worked really well, even given the constraints of having like a quote unquote prophecy character. And he was so much more than just that too. So I thought he was really good, even though he wasn't necessarily like I don't know if Timothée Chalamet has, I don't know, maybe it's just his face. But I thought he was great. I think that there were just some, I don't know what it was. He just wasn't like my favorite, but he was probably top five characters for me. Maybe part of it was
Yeah.
every time I saw him, I just kept thinking of that SNL skit, the rap round table with him and Pete Davidson.
I'm pretty sure you're the
Maybe
only
that was
person
it.
who that comes to mind every time they see
That was,
Chalamet.
how could I not, dude?
That's
This
funny.
is a Zan Mob, aka Guap Lord and Smoke Cheddar the Ass Getter. Dude,
Oh
that
man.
video goes
One
so
of the
hard.
only funny SNL
But
sketches in the last like decade probably. But
decade and a half, yeah, dude.
yeah, so regarding Paul, like obviously again, you know, neither of us know the book version of Paul. But from what I have gathered in, you know, post movie threads is that Paul is supposed to kind of be like a blank slate somewhat, in terms of personality and emotion. Like he doesn't really know who he is yet. And you see that parallel with that first scene that he has with his dad where, you know, Leto's talking to him about how he's the future of House Atreides, and Paul's like, what if I'm not? He's like, what if you're not what? He's like, what if I'm not the future of House Atreides? And Leto's like, then you'd still be the only thing I ever needed you to be, my son. And I was like, oh, nice father-son moment there. That was touching. But you see the parallel with that throughout the rest of the movie as Rebecca and the Bene Gesserit kind of are laying the seeds for Paul to be the Lisan Al Gaib, or kind of like the chosen one. He goes by a bunch of different names depending on who's referring to him in this movie and the world. But basically, he's prophesied to be like Neo, and he'll, you know, save the galaxy basically. Now, the Bene Gesserit also have a conversation with Rebecca where, I'm sorry, Rebecca Ferguson, Lady Jessica, where they're like, he could be the one, he might not be. Like, we'll lay seeds for, you know, the people in on Arrakis to think that he is. But like, if he fails, they're straight up like, we have other options. Like, if he's not the one, we have other potential candidates to be the one. And so we're not like putting all our eggs in the Paul Atreides basket, but like we've done what we can, so good luck. And you see other scenes of Paul throughout the movie where he's like doesn't believe that he is capable of being you know, this person that is prophesied about or that his mother believes him to be. But by the end, you know, the final line of dialogue from him, you know, after he defeats one of the Fremen in combat to kind of earn their respect and join the crew, he is speaking with the leader, Stilgar, played by Javier Bardem, also an amazing character, by the way. I think he's going to get a lot more shine in part two, and he was excellent in part one as well. But Jessica starts talking about how Paul needs to get off world for his own safety, and Paul kind of interrupts, and he's like, no, like my path leads into the desert. Like I see it now. This is what I must do. And it's kind of him like stepping up and taking charge and being like, okay, if this is the path for my life, let's do it. And so he kind of steps into the shoes of like being ready to fulfill his destiny, as it were, by the end of the movie. But you see him struggling with that throughout. And I thought that was just really excellently done. And hopefully, you know, we see him come into his own even more in part two. You know, he mentions at the end how, like, if he were emperor, he could solve a bunch of problems that the people around him are dealing with. He mentions, like, with a wave of his hand. And that to me can kind of came out of nowhere, but it seems like Paul has imperial aspirations. And to see him, you know, go from, you know, obviously a important member of a high-ranking house, you know, so he's not a nobody, but to go from that to stepping into his own shoes as emperor in part two, I'd like to see that. So maybe we'll get it. Maybe we won't get that till like part three or Children of Dune or whatever the second book is called. But yeah, like just seeing that development from Paul, you know, was really good. It didn't really bother me that Chalamet was kind of like a blank slate for a lot of the movie because that's kind of who Paul's supposed to be. But I agree with you 100% about Jason Momoa's Duncan Idaho. I mean, he brought just joy to every scene that he was in. Like he has such an expressive presence And he went out like a champ. Spoilers, obviously. We've been talking about the whole movie. But R.I.P. Duncan Idaho. He had to take down like 20 Sardaukar warriors
And he did.
before he got taken down. But he, dude, was going ham. Like when he was fighting, he went down and they were trying to like laser through the door and they couldn't. And then he got back up, but he like pulled the sword out and just went berserk on everybody. I stood up. Well, I didn't stand up, but I was like, let's go. In my head, I don't yell at theaters. That's impolite. Don't do that. But I thought it really loudly. I was like, oh my gosh, what a sick scene. RIP though. Shame we're not going to see him in the next part because he is definitely dead.
Yeah.
But
Hey,
dang.
maybe resurrection is a part of the Dune, part of Dune's legacy. I have no idea. I haven't read it. I'm hoping. I don't imagine it is, but
Yeah.
but Dune, it was awesome. Can't wait for part two. There's probably a lot more that we can talk about on it, but those are just our first thoughts, and oh, it was so good. I can't wait to see it again. Like, I was excited to see it again and planning on it, but after talking with you again tonight, I'm just like, I'm dying to see it again. So I'll find time to do it, but
Dude, me too. I might have to go
we'll
see it
see
right
what
now. It's only
happens.
7:30 p.m. I might have to find a
Maybe.
showing
Who
and go
knows?
catch it. But yeah,
Who knows?
excellent, excellent film all around. Can't sing its praises highly enough. The few issues that I had, are not worth like going into detail about, to be honest, because they don't detract from the movie as a whole. Is it perfect? No. Like, no movie's perfect in my eye. Except for The Princess Bride, because that is a perfect movie. But, like, this movie, again, just a stellar achievement of filmmaking. Like, it felt like winning an award. Like, watching this movie felt like I won something. Because I was like, wow, I get to live in the same time that this movie comes out and appreciate it for what it is. And so, I hope part two lives up to it. I really wish that the studio had allowed Villeneuve to shoot both parts back to back. Like Lord of the Rings was done, so that everything can be shot together and then released one year after the next. But apparently they were not down for that. So unfortunately we're gonna have to wait 2 years, but I can wait.
It makes sense. I mean, the previous version of this movie that came out in the 90s or 80s, whenever it was, totally flopped. Absolute disaster. I haven't seen it, but most people don't even know that one came out, So I totally get it. It's not like it's at this point the hugest brand name or anything like that. So I understand a bit of hesitancy with the studio, but I'm glad that they're greenlighting a second one, especially in COVID times with numbers for theaters being all down and everything like that. This very easily could have been an unlucky casualty of just the times we live in, and I'm so glad that it's shaping up to not be that way, because it deserves so much more. So, we'll see how it all ends up in terms of ratings and box office earnings and stuff like that, given the fact that it's going to be relative to COVID and everything like that. But hopefully, it just keeps shooting through the moon, because it deserves it. So, Academy. Don't be dumb.
Don't be
Give this
dumb.
thing some awards.
Give
Give this thing
this
some
thing all the
awards.
awards. This I want this thing to win so
Yes.
many awards.
We know that you listen to us. Everyone in the Academy listens to this
Yes,
show.
they
We
do.
know who you are.
Yes. We
Please.
have your family members.
Oh.
No, we actually don't. I don't know any Academy members or their
No.
family members. And nor do any of them
Even
listen to
is the
this podcast.
Academy? It's literally
So.
just faceless, who knows who
Yeah.
people. Like, is that their full-time job? There's no way.
No,
Like, they
their
must
job
just
is
be like
just being
actors and
Academy
writers and
members.
stuff.
No, it's members of the Screen Actors Guild and writers
I don't
and
know. The
producers. And
Academy is like, yeah,
no, it's
whatever.
not just
But,
that's not their only job is to vote on movies once a
hey,
year. That'd be
I don't
hilarious.
know. It's Hollywood. Hollywood does some ridiculous, illogical stuff. So it would totally not be out of the realm to have people whose whole job is to celebrate themselves,
Yeah.
Like,
Well,
that seems not that crazy.
one logical thing that they're doing. In the vein of Dune here, is giving proper shine to fiction franchises that deserve their stories to be told. And along with Dune is, you all can't see it, but Justin is doing some happy dance right now because he wants to jump in and talk about Wheel of Time. So I don't know anything
The
about Wheel of
Wheel of
Time, and I'm just gonna
Time!
hand the reins off and you can play us out.
The Wheel of Time is coming. We got 16 days until we get the first three episodes dropping on Amazon Prime. And then the three following weeks on Friday, we have episodes 4, 5, and 6. Six episodes, 50-minute episodes. Let's go, dude. Do you know literally anything about the plot of The Wheel of Time?
I know nothing about the Wheel of Time.
You know nothing about the plot of The Wheel of Time.
I
Okay.
know there's a guy called Matt, because you guys said that when
There
I was
is a guy
around.
called Matt who is the GOAT, first of all. He doesn't start off that way, but he is the
Right, well,
GOAT. So I don't
spoilers
know
already.
exactly.
You're ruining this series.
It's not a spoiler, come on. But it's essentially about the Dark One is like the big Dark One is the big evil presence that's overshadowing the whole series, has been locked away for centuries and is starting to break from his prison and is threatening to let loose on the world. And there's been this prophesied hero, the Dragon Reborn, who is the reincarnation of the previous Dragon Reborn who lived centuries ago that initially helped to lock the Dark One away. And it's been prophesied that he will come back and will be back to battle the Dark One in what's called the Last Battle and defeat him once and for all, but in the process, destroy the world. And this book series, it's a 14 book long series plus a prequel, so I guess 15, about that process and about discovering who that person is and so many other characters that are along for the ride, just kind of getting caught up in this entire huge epic. It has influences in or influence from Lord of the Rings, and I'm not going to get into anything more than that. That's a general, like, if you just look at like the back of the first book, that's what you're going to see. It is a book series that I've been reading for the last 2 years. It is insanely good. It is so fast-paced, and the characters are so well written, and like there's so many moments that just make you pump your fists in the air, and I can't wait to go through it and hear about your experiences with it, Steve, as someone who hasn't read it. And I'm super optimistic about the show, and I'm hoping they don't let me down. And I feel like I might be putting too much like hope on this show, but if they do this even the slightest amount of justice, it's gonna be beyond incredible. And I am so excited. There's so many characters I can't wait to see. And it comes out in just over 2 weeks, the first three episodes. So I don't know when on earth I'm gonna have time to watch, 3 straight hours of it, because definitely not on that Friday. But it's coming, and I'm gonna make it happen. And I want to spend some time talking about it on this show. Maybe we'll just do one big episode when it finishes, hearing your thoughts on the whole thing. Or maybe we'll do like a 10-minute check-in every week. It's just a few weeks, but man, dude, I'm so excited for you to do it, to watch. And I am almost done with book 13 out of 14. So part of what's getting me so hype is all of this build up and all of these characters are building to their final payoffs. And I'm trying to finish and crush these books before the show starts. It's taken me about a week and a half to get to where I am in book 13. So I'm hoping if I can get off this recording, finish book 13 tonight, and then I'll have just over 2 weeks to read the last book. They're thick books, so it's totally crazy to think that I can. But we'll see. I'm hoping to. So I'll keep everyone updated if I'm able to do that. But man, November 19th, mark your calendars and watch it because it's gonna be good. I'm so excited. I'm
Well,
so
if I
excited.
weren't on board with this show already, your raw enthusiasm would have just, pushed me over the edge and got me to sign on for at least the first three episodes. So, this will be interesting as we go through this series, together as one book reader and one non-book reader. And I'm of the mindset that if I haven't read something of source material prior to seeing something I'm interested in, I will just watch that thing first without reading it first.
Like
I
Dune.
yeah I mean I think that there's a lot of times where an adaptation from book to screen is not done perfectly, and you can never do it perfectly, but it's not done well even. And I would just like to get the experience of the screen version first before I have any expectation of what I want to see or the characters that I would know from source material. So I like to go back and read it after and then see what, they missed or cut out or, exaggerated or changed, and then just having them as separate entities. If you read the source material and then watch the adaptation, it's hard to kind of separate them sometimes, but I like the opposite order. So hopefully that's good. You have high hopes for it, as do I. I think yours are probably a little higher, but yeah,
Probably.
that should be good. So we'll talk about that in the future. Eternals is also out in 2 days. We're gonna have to talk about that. And
Oh, absolutely.
Black Widow and Shang-Chi
And
are
Hawkeye
still
comes out
on
a week
very
after
back
that.
burners. Yeah,
Yo,
we got a ton
November's
of
too
stuff
wild,
coming
man.
up. We'll have to do like speed reviews of some things, or we'll just put out like 4 hours worth of stuff. And you'll have to listen to like a 4 hour episode. So
Maybe we'll just do an unedited episode one day where we just talk for 4 hours and you guys got to deal with all of our ramblings and stuff that we'll normally cut out. That's just total nonsense, voice crack, stuff like that. But hey, maybe
maybe.
we'll do
I
it.
like that idea.
Probably not, but maybe.
We'll see. We got options, but yeah, plenty of stuff to talk about coming up here, and honestly, like head and shoulders above it. Like Dune is something that you all should see before this, like
Yes,
Christmas,
absolutely.
Thanksgiving, holiday wave of entertainment comes in. Like go see Dune before something else catches your eye, before it's out of theaters. This deserves to be seen.
Steven, you know the most exciting thing about the Wheel of Time, though?
Does it keep spinning?
It actually does,
Oh,
but
that was just a
the
guess.
book, this is a show that's based on a book series that is actually already finished. It already has an ending,
Amazing.
and the series can, it's impossible for the series to outpace the source material. Not pointing fingers, not naming
Thrones.
names, but it's a beautiful thing. So, we'll see how it goes,
That's
but I'm
great.
excited and yeah, so Steve, I don't know if you know this, but after the last episode, I ran the first ever Two Brothers poll, the first ever Two Brothers podcast poll on the Spotify episode, because apparently Anchor FM, the website that we use to upload the podcast to all the wonderful places that you guys hear it, apparently they have a new feature where we can add polls. So it was just a quick little poll, and I just want to report to everyone the findings because I'm sure people are very interested. So the polls was just on what if. It was just how did people like it? Did they love it, like it, meh, or actively dislike it, or did not watch it? And it was a tie between loved it and liked it. We had one person say love it, which I know was Caleb Soderbergh, so thank you, Caleb. And
And
then
one
we had
person
one
said, love
person
it.
say,
Nice.
said liked it. So
Oh,
one
one
said
liked
loved
and
and
one
one said
loved. Yeah.
liked, and liked it was me. So
Nice.
the first ever official Two Brothers podcast poll had one non-host response. So shout out to Caleb. And
Nice.
I think it was Caleb at least. I'm not 100% sure. If it wasn't Caleb, I take that back and thank you whoever it was. I'm pretty sure it was him though. But if not, whatever. More people should get back. But I'm thinking we're probably gonna do this as a regular thing and just, it'll be very small things just to see what's going on. And if nobody likes them, cool, we'll still throw them up. It's literally no effort to add them. So
Yeah, nobody
it
likes
might be
the
fun to have a
podcast
little bit
anyways.
of.
Like we had one person vote on it, so like
That's true.
we
That's
still
true.
make episodes
If you
and put them
didn't
up,
vote,
so I
shame
don't
on
give a
you.
dang. I don't give a dang.
Yeah, if you listen on Spotify and you didn't vote, boo. If you don't listen on Spotify, then it's okay. Make a Spotify and then go do it. You can make a free one and still vote. So
Yeah.
you don't have to
Either
pay for
way,
premium.
Justin and I are still having fun talking about stuff we like,
Oh,
and we're gonna keep doing it. You
100%.
can't stop us. You can only hope to contain
Gotta chop
us.
us. Can't stop him.
Can't stop him. Gotta chop him. Oh, classic NCAA March Madness 03 on PlayStation 2. A lot of great moments on that game. But now they can make NCAA games again in the future because the NCAA stopped being stupid. That's a whole other can of worms that we didn't even need to crack open there, but hey, Dune was great. Wheel of Time is looking great. Lots of great stuff.
The Astros lost the World Series, which is great. Life is just great. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better now and less sick than I did at the beginning of this recording. This stuff's giving me life. And
There you
I'm one day
go.
closer to my next game of Twilight Imperium. So what could be better?
We have cracked the code to prolonged health, tea with honey, Nigerian food, and listening to us talk about stuff we like. Cure all diseases. You heard it here first, guaranteed.
If you're sick, you gotta sit home and rest anyway. So hey, throw on a Two Brothers episode. So
Exactly.
we have talked for way too long. We set a hard cap at 1 hour,
Yeah.
and who knows where we're at now. So we will catch you on the flip.
Peace.
Deuces.